Well, good morning. So glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us, Second Baptist Church, whether in person or online. If you're a guest with us today, we'd love to connect with you. We want to know how we can serve your family, how we can be a blessing to you. So there's a couple ways you can do that. You can fill out a card in the pew back in front of you and just fill out some of that simple guest information. We'd love to serve you. And at the end of service, you'll have an opportunity to place that on the offering plates and we can connect with you there. If you're online, you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and click on the button that says I'm new. And it's a really short form. You fill that out. And we'll know that you were worshiping with us today and want to just meet and connect with you any way that we can, in person or online. Today is Family Day, so we do have some of our children in the service with us. Every other Sunday except for the first Sunday of the month is Family Day. So we love to have our kids in here worshiping with us and being engaged in worship. The other Sundays we do offer children's church, and so just be aware of that. If you would like to have your kids participate in that, we'd love to have them. So we are going to, in just a moment, sing unto the Lord, worship Him through song, have time of studying the Word of God, and then time to worship the Lord through our giving as we depart. But I'm going to pray and ask God's hand of blessing, God's power be on our service this morning, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, You are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank You for Your love and affection toward us. We thank You for the opportunity to gather today. Jesus, You are worthy. Your name is above every name. God, we thank You for Your sacrifice. We thank You for the gift of salvation. God, thank You for the opportunity to freely gather today to worship You in spirit and in truth. I thank You for all that have joined here with us today in person and online. I pray that Your power would be manifest through the service this morning, God, that we would leave this place, we would conclude this service with God, not ever being the same again. That God, You would meet with us, You would challenge us, You would draw us to Yourself. God, we ask that You would mend broken hearts this morning, You would heal the sick. God, You'd set free those that are captive. God, You'd do a great work that, God, only You will be glorified in and through this time together. Lord Jesus, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for all things. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Would you stand as we join our voices together to praise our Lord and Savior this morning?
For me, when with the ransom
I love that last verse where it says, when His face at last we'll see, we'll sing through the ages of His love for us. Isn't that amazing this morning that we have the opportunity this morning to sing of His love, not just in the hereafter, but here as we live. Continue to raise your voices with us today as we sing about this wonderful grace of God with these two great songs, Grace Greater Than Our Sin, and then Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled,
my God, my
on me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word, my hope secure. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love. Dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. You may be seated. What a great truth to declare this morning, that through the salvation of Christ, God is forever ours. And we are His portion. We are grateful for that. Well, this morning I want to continue. We are week 5 out of 6, Lord willing. Week 5 out of 6 of talking about going through this sermon series of 10%, a call to biblical stewardship. 10%, a call to biblical stewardship. And we have studied this. We began with God is the owner of everything. He owns it all. And so then week 2, because He owns it all, we own absolutely nothing. And then week 3, we looked at the tithe, and that a tithe is the actual 10%. And week 4, we talked about that there's this biblical command, this biblical standard to bring the tithe, bring the full 10% to the local church, to the church house, okay? That's the standard that Scripture lays out before us. And so, God owns everything, we don't own anything, 10% the tithe means 10%, and so then we are to bring the tithe, the full 10% to the local church. And then week 5, here we are, this is our message this morning, is that we need to practice over and above giving. Practice over and above giving. And so we are talking about generosity this morning. And so as we begin to look at this, we've got to frame this in the right context for us to really grab a hold of and be generous giving. We're going to talk about generous living is a primary focus this morning. But here's the reality. Here's how we got to shape this is that we've got to see our giving as an investment in eternity. We're really good in a lot of times, in a lot of ways, a lot of us are good about building our investment portfolio or all these sort of investments and thinking about putting money in and return, all that kind of thing. And you need to know this morning, is there is no greater investment than giving through the local church, giving to the cause and the purpose of Christ and the mission to make disciples. And I know we give to different things, and we talked last week, the first 10% goes to the local church without a doubt. But then we even give to other organizations that are carrying out and fulfilling the mission of Christ. And we've got to wrap our mind around and understand this morning that as we give, we've got to think about it in terms of investing in eternity. And so just for a moment, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take both your hands and I want you to clench your fists together. I know, active participation. Who would have thought this morning? That's tough, all right? Unfortunately, we live a lot of times like this. We live thinking it's ours and I've got to hold on to it and I've got to keep it, I've got to maintain it, and all that kind of thing. Now I want you to open your hands with your palms towards the sky. And if we're going to live generously, this is how we've got to live. It's not mine to hold on to. Are you awake now? I don't know what happened. Uh-oh. Are your palms still open? See, it was all a setup from the beginning, seeing how long you would do it. All right, but no, at ease, all right? but we live too often with our fists closed and trying to hold on to. But if we began with God owns everything, I own absolutely nothing. Remember, we said all of our life is about stewardship. So the reality is, whatever God pours into our life, He has done it so that we would be a blessing to others. Remember, time, talent, treasure, influence, and opportunities. And so if you are going to live generously, if we are going to practice over and above living, this generous living, then you and I have to live our lives with open hands and not clenched fists. And so, if you will, turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Chapter 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians has a lot to say about giving, about generosity, about offerings. And we're going to take, and we're going to begin in verse 6 in just a moment. We're going to read through verse 15. And take our time and focus in on this passage this morning. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 6. If you have found your place and if you will and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Paul writes this. He says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work, as it is written, 'He has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread or food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. And by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. And I pray this morning that above all else, you would be glorified. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your Spirit, I pray. Speak to our heart now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So this morning we want to focus on over and above giving, the practice of over and above giving. There's two main thoughts I want to focus in this morning. The main idea of the text this morning is generous living goes above and beyond what is required. Generous living goes above and beyond what is required. And so the question this morning then that we have for you is, do you live generously? Do you live generously? I love this quote from Randy Alcorn. He writes about this, helping us understand tithing, because we talked about tithe is 10%, and we bring the full 10% into the local church. But Randy Alcorn writes this, and I think it's spot on. He says that tithing isn't the ceiling of giving, it's the floor. It's not the finish line of giving, it's just the starting blocks. Tithes can be training wheels to launch us into the mindset, skills, and habits of grace giving. That's good. So he says it's not just the floor, it's not the ceiling, it's the floor. I asked Jonathan this week, and as I was studying, something the Lord kind of just captured my heart with as I was studying this is, are we really generous until we at least give the tithe? To say we're generous and we don't tithe and we don't at least, you know, in terms of financially, I'm not sure we can say we're generous, because here this morning we're going to talk about the Corinthians who are giving. They were giving their tithe, but we're going to look at this, that they had committed to give a gift to Paul to go and do ministry. This was their over and above giving. They had committed to do that, and so now Paul is commending them to go ahead and give, and he talks about the impact it's going to make, and we're going to get to that. But from our text, there are two major ideas that I want us to hang our hat on about this text. And so number one, God enables generous giving. God enables generous giving. And there's four nuances, if you will, to this. And so A, there is a standard to generous giving. There's a standard that we see set in the text this morning. If you look at verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9:6, listen to what it says. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then look down to verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. So notice this, supply, multiply the seed that you have sown, and here it is, increase the fruits of your righteousness. Underline that. And so here's the standard that is set. The Bible says if you use your time, talent, treasure, opportunities, influence selfishly, then you will reap selfishly. That's the idea of the word sparingly here. Use it for yourself. Focus on yourself. But then he contrasts that, the Bible contrasts that, says if you do it bountifully, if you do it with abundance, if you do it generously, then you will reap generously. And again, I'm going to say it again, I know that for you guys I don't have to, I'm not talking about that, you know, you give X number of dollars, it's a guarantee you're going to get X number of dollars back. But what I am saying, the Bible says that if you live generously, God will meet your needs, plus He will minister, He will use you in ways that you never dreamed of or imagined. And this is exactly opposite of what the world would teach us. It flies in the face of logic to think the more that I give, the more I'm blessed. the more God meets and God shows up and God works, logically it goes, man, if I really want to make sure I have all that I need and all that kind of thing, I'd be careful with what I give. I've got to guard against it. I've got to live with closed fists. But the Bible says the standard is this, that you don't own anything. God owns it all. And everything you have, He has entrusted you with it. And the Bible says if you're going to live generously, the standard is to do it generously, to what you put in. It's a principle of harvest, but it's also a principle for living. That if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. And then verse 10, He says, He'll increase the fruits of your righteousness. It's not a promise to say, man, you're going to get all these big financial gains. But He said, man, God's going to do things in your life you never imagined, you never dreamed of. Not to mention the investment in eternity. The things that when you get to heaven because of your generous living, you had no idea about the way that your gift impacted eternity. Bible teaches us in other places in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. So the one that spreads more actually gets more. The one who holds on to it, it actually ends up costing him more. Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Friend, if you and I are going to see the full power of God and the hand of His blessing, it's going to be because we live generously. It's the over and above giving. So He sets the standard for our giving. But B, there's an attitude of generous living. There's an attitude of generous living. Look at verse 7. Remember verse 6, sow sparingly, reap sparingly, sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Then verse 7, so because that is the principle, that's the standard. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you see the attitude that is to be here? The last thing that you and I need to get to a place to going, boy, I've got to write this check because so-and-so says I need to, or so-and-so is expecting it, or whatever the case may be. That's not the giving that God blesses, and that's not the giving that God honors. Yes, there are needs and there are opportunities, all that kind of thing. But you need to understand this, that he says, give as He purposes in His heart. That means that I'm determined to give in a way that honors God, so I've purposed that in my heart, and I'm doing it because it honors God, it's pleasing to God, it's what He's called me to, not because of this need or not because somebody communicates something to me, but because God has put it in my heart to live generously, and then He says that for God loves a cheerful giver. Friend, what is it about a cheerful giver? We tend to live our lives like this, thinking it's ours, we've got to protect it, we've got to hold on to it. But when we live like this, we remember God owns everything, I own nothing. And so anything I have that's of any influence to give, it's a blessing because God has given it to me for that purpose. And so He says, God loves a cheerful giver. That's the attitude of giving. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Willingly offered all these things, and now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. It's this perpetuating idea that as I purpose in my heart to give, this practice, this over and above giving, we find joy in it. And because we find joy in it, did you hear this? He says, in the uprightness of my heart, I've willingly offered. So there's a sense of freedom about this, not grudgingly, right? But now with joy, I have seen your people. So as I'm a cheerful giver, there's more joy that comes with that. So it perpetuates itself. Proverbs 11:25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. That God blesses generosity. And so we have this principle, this standard of generous living, and then we have this attitude of generous living. And then C, there is a supply for generous living. Look at verse 8 and 9. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Notice this, God is able to make. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things. That's a lot of alls, okay? Always having all sufficiency, enough, more than enough, in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he, who talking about God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply your seed, the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What's the supply here, or the supplier, is God himself. God owns it all. Everything. Everything you have that's of any good, of any profit, of anything, of any consequence, God gave it to you. Listen. Here's the listener participation in. Go. God just gave me that breath. Best I can tell, he gave you a sound mind this morning. Most of you are still awake. Woke you up this morning. Everything you have, God gave to you. Everything I have, God gave to me. And the more we understand that, the more obscene it seems to live like this, trying to hold on to whatever it is that God has given us. As if he can't continue to give what he's given us. As if he's going to run out. But rather, when we live this way, understanding God owns everything and we own absolutely nothing. And we see this in Scripture. He is able. That points to his power. Don't you think the God who spoke everything into existence is able this morning? He is able to do above all that we could ever imagine, ask, or hope for. It says that verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That you, always having all sufficiency in all things, never running out of what you need, including grace and mercy, may have an abundance for every good work. God has blessed you for the purpose of good work. He continues in verse 10, now may he, God, who supplies seed to the sower, your generous living, your generous giving, the practice of over and above giving, you are planting seeds for a harvest that you may or may not see this side of eternity. But what Paul is telling the Corinthians here is saying, as you, God has blessed you, he has met all your needs, you have this for good work, and God is the one that has supplied the seed, so you plant it. He says he's given you bread for food. He says that he has supplied it and multiplied the seed you have sown and increases the fruits of your righteousness. There's a supply for generous living, and it comes from the throne room of heaven. As you and I practice over and above giving. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 9. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, "But what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel?" And the man of God answered, "The Lord is able to give you much more than this." Sometimes we look at what God has done, and we look at what we've given, or whatever the case is, and you know, it's cost us this, and we think, man, you know, how am I going to deal with that? How is that going to happen? Listen, God gave you that. And if He gave you that, He can give you much more. He can supply that. He is our supplier. And then D, there's an impact of generous living. There's an impact to be made. Look at the text again. Look at chapter 9, verse 11 through 14. Chapter 9, 11 through 14. And so here's verse 11. "While you are enriched in everything for all liberality," that's God supplying, "so that you can give generously." That's the picture that's here. "Notice this, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." So there's first person impact. Paul, he's trying to reach lost people. He's trying to go and plant churches. He's trying to take the gospel to far and wide. And the Corinthians had committed to give a gift, to be a part, to financially support that. So now he's calling them to that. And he says, look, first of all, your giving is going to cause me to thank God. It's going to glorify God because I'm going to thank God because of your generosity. Okay? There's impact. Verse 12. "For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints," so listen to how they're financially going to impact, it meets the needs of the saints, of believers, "but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God." So it's meeting this need, but as it meets the needs of people, people are more and more thankful to God because they sense God has met their need. Verse 13, "While through the proof of this ministry," the fruits here, "they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel and for your liberal sharing with them and all men." So what's happening? As Paul is going throughout the work and ministry, and he is pointing, saying, hey friends, let me tell you, man, we're able to do this because the church at Corinth gave in such a way we're able to be here. And he says, it causes me to thank God, it causes the saints to thank God, and then he says that it glorifies God because of the obedience of their confession of the gospel. You know what people are doing? So, man, they must really believe in this mission of Jesus Christ because they have given financially so this man could be here to tell others about Jesus. And it caused them to glorify God. And they were thankful because they were so committed to the mission that they believed in that they gave to it. "For your liberal sharing, for your generous life with them and all men. And look, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you." You know what's happening as Paul's going out? He's telling the story of the generosity at Corinth, and people all over that region, they are thank you, God, for meeting this need. What an incredible body of believers because of their generosity. Man, thank you, God, for the way you've blessed them. And they're praying for the church at Corinth, and there's this deep connected affection in them that they can't get past, they can't get over. Hey, listen to me, church. Hey, listen. We're talking about leading a mission trip to Ukraine and sending some of you to go. And the only way that happens is through your generous giving. Can you imagine? Because we've talked about one of our dreams, one of our hopes is that we're able to plant a church in Agronomia in Ukraine. And Lord willing, in a few months, we will have some of you standing on the mission field. You'll be standing in that school, begging God to work, and your church family will be here knowing that you and I, as we come together, we live generously, we give generously, that one day when you and I step into eternity, that there is some little widow from Agronomia. There is some child that comes running up to you saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because we are there saying, hey, listen, the only way we're here is because of what God is doing in people in Russellville, Arkansas. They are living generously and making an impact. And they thank God because there is nobody, not a single person that we know of, telling them about Jesus. Why would you not want to be a part of that? If we are so committed to this Bible is real and we have one mission, go and make disciples of all nations. Church, we can't afford to waste time. We can't afford to wait till our profits, our retirement, our investments pay off. But rather, we've got to stop living like this and go, God, here it is. You do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever imagine, ask, or hope for. Because God is able. Y'all keep on. I'm going to preach myself happy. All right. 2 Corinthians 8:14, he says this in a chapter before, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may supply their lack, that their abundance also may supply your lack, that there may be equality. What he says is, as you give, it meets a need. And then when you have a need, God raises up people and meets that. Hey, some of you, many of you, and you think about when you were young and got married, and you didn't have nothing, and just how, I don't know about you, but I can't think the number of people that God prodded, people had no idea of our need, of our situation, and God just prodded people and provided. And it's unexplainable other than God. And that's what Paul's teaching here, saying, man, as you practice over and above giving, God uses it and produces fruit that you never could imagine. And listen to even Paul's words to the church at Philippi in chapter 4, verse 17. He says this, he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. You know what Paul was teaching the church at Philippi? And hear me, okay? Because I think what Paul is saying here is that God's not dependent on your gift. God is able. God owns a cattle on a thousand hills and the hills, okay? He doesn't need me. But he invites me to be a part of his work, to live this way. He gives me whatever it is to pass along, and then he blesses me for giving what was his that he allowed me to give. Paul says, not that I desire a gift, but fruit that may abound to your account. And so, number one idea we see here is that God enables generous giving. He enables generous giving. And then I want to finish with this, the why behind our giving. Number two, God demonstrates generous living. God demonstrates generous living. Very last verse of our text this morning, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. What is that? Jesus. Because of Jesus, God saw you and I as sinners with no hope. Remember, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a single one of us in this room, online, anywhere, that has ever lived, apart from Jesus, that has lived a sinless, perfect life. Romans 3:10, there are none righteous, no, not one. Not a single one of us can earn the righteousness of God. And because of that, we've earned death. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death. all of us have earned because of our sin. We have earned our place in hell, is what the Bible teaches. And so God sees us as these people with no hope, with no answer, with no way of escaping hell. And I don't want to make light of it, but God practices generously that He gives this indescribable gift in the fact that Jesus steps out of heaven, comes to earth, lives a sinless, perfect life, the life that you and I could not live. He goes to the cross, dies the death that you and I deserve. He is buried in the tomb, and 3 days later is raised from the grave to conquer death, hell, and the grave. Why? So that He could offer freely the gift of eternal life to you and to me. And so Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, talking to them about practicing over and above giving. And he ends this chapter and says, "Oh, by the way, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." Why do we give? Why do we practice this over and above giving? Because God sets the standard. If God can give Himself, surely you and I can give our time, talent, and treasure, influences, and opportunities. But dear friend, it begins with one decision. It begins with giving yourself. You need to ask this morning before you can give anything, have I given my life to Jesus? Not have I prayed a prayer, not have I walked an aisle, not have I joined a church, not have I gotten a baptistry, but have I given my life to Jesus? No strings attached, no 75%, totally and freely. Have I given my life to Jesus? Listen to the way the Bible describes the gift of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor." He was in heaven, He came to earth. He was a king, He came as a human, yet fully God. "That you through His poverty might become rich." He made Himself poor so that you could become rich. He came as a mere human so that you could have salvation. But the Bible talks about this in other places, this gift, the way that God gives. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves." Look, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Friend, if you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus, today is a day of salvation. Call out on Him right where you're at and say, "God, I give you everything. I give you my all." Don't put it off. Don't wait. "Oh, another day, preacher. Another time." And then for those of us that are Christians, we need to ask God to forgive us for living like this and live like this. One of my favorite hymns, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," one of the verses says this, "As were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, Love so amazing, love so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. This God, this Bible, this gospel demands our all. And if we're going to make the impact that I believe we want to make, first, you've got to give your heart and life to Jesus if you don't know Him. Secondly, we've got to practice over and above giving. So here's how this is going to work. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. And for those of you that are lost and need to be saved, I'm going to encourage you, cry out to God, ask Him for salvation. And then we're going to have a time of response. And this time is to respond to what God has spoken to our heart and to our life. And there's going to be a time you can come up here and you can kneel. You can kneel right where you're at, you can pray right where you're at. I want to encourage you, practice over and above giving. Ask God to forgive us living with closed fists and ask Him to help us to live with open hands. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore You. God, I thank You for Your Word and the truth of Your Word. Lord, I pray, God, that God, if there's anybody here that's lost without You, God, would You save them? Convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. I pray they repent and be converted. And if that's you this morning, you just pray right where you're at. Pray, say, God, would You forgive me of all my sins? God, I give my life to You. Totally, freely, without any reservation, I give everything to You. God, would You save me? Jesus, would You be my Lord and my Savior? Help me to live for You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, with head bowed, eyes closed, nobody else looking around. If you just prayed that this morning, would you just slip your hand up in the air and say, Pastor Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me this morning. I prayed it with all my heart. God, I pray in these next few moments that we would respond in obedience to You. We would hear from You. We would we'll be obedient to how You've spoke to us this morning. This time is for you. We're going to have a time of invitation. You're welcome to come up here and pray. You can pray right where you're at. Pray for your neighbor. God spoke to your heart. You respond to Him. Lord, You are gracious and kind and merciful. And I pray, Lord, that God, You would help us to be obedient to You. You would help us to live generously. God, thank You for Your gift, Your indescribable gift. Lord, I love You. I thank You for Your mercy and grace. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hear.
strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus made it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Would you stand with us as we sing this last verse?
Died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. My dead and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who bring my dead and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for being here. We are going to pray and ask our men to go ahead and take their place. They will be at the doors as you exit. Opportunity for you to give. Again, I hope you don't feel obligated by that. Just trying to reduce the touching of the plate as it passes around. So if you would like to give, certainly have that opportunity. Thank you so much for being here. Again, if you're a guest, we want to connect with you. We want to know that you joined us in person or online. Again, you can give online, sbcr.org/give, okay? Well, I'm going to pray. Hope you have a great rest of the day and a great week. Thank you for being a part. Let me pray for us. Lord, you are gracious and kind. We thank you for your love and affection. We thank you for how you provide and care for us. And I pray, God, as we give today, God, that we would live generously. God, give generously, give our time, talent, treasure, opportunities, influence. And God, I pray that all that we say and do would bring honor and glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid it all so that we can have salvation. Lord, I pray that we'd live for you this week. We'd be a witness for you. Go before us and behind us. Make your face shine upon us, I pray. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.